Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's noradarealestate.com/guide.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and I'm excited for another great episode of Hump Day Hustle. And with me, I have John Stiles. John, how are you doing?
Hello, Todd. Thanks for having me on your show again.
Yeah, absolutely. So in this show, we're just going to talk a little bit about what we got going on, what's going on in the market, what are we learning, what are we failing on, and hopefully pass something valuable on to you. So John, why don't you start us off? What do you got going on? What are you learning? And what are you failing on?
Yeah, thanks, Todd. The more I learn about business, the more I need to learn. So, <Yeah. laughs> one aspect of that is how Facebook and Facebook marketing fits into our overall business plan. As you know, if you've listened to the previous episode, I'm a local real estate agent here in the Minneapolis St. Paul market. We're using Facebook ads. So I'm just kind of learning how to use those more effectively, by including video in them. This applies to all sorts of different businesses, whether it's real estate or otherwise. But I think one success I can point to recently, we recently sponsored an event locally here called Nicollet Open Streets. So they closed down Nicollet Avenue for about 16 blocks, Lake Street to 46th. We were one of the vendors that sponsored a space there. So prior to the event, just like 2 days prior to the event, I drove down Nicollet Avenue with my phone camera running, and I videotaped the route. And so then I just gave a little bit of commentary about, hey, be sure to come out to the event. You'll see lots of great vendors, have lots of great food, all that stuff. Be sure to stop at our booth, check us out. So, and then I did boost that post. I just spent like maybe $25 or so on that. And that ad did really great as far as the people reached and the engagement with the ad. And even on the event day, somebody walked by and said, "Hey, I saw your video on Facebook." So that was pretty cool to see, how it reached the audience. So,
So John, with this podcast, I'd like to grow it and like to reach the most amount of people.
Yeah.
The fastest way, because I think there's a lot of valuable information that, we're giving out and giving out for free. We're interviewing fantastic business owners, real estate investors, financial gurus. So do you think, I'm not a marketing person by any means, and I don't pretend to be one. I don't know the internet very well. I've got a LinkedIn page and Facebook page, and I don't do the Twitter and all that kind of stuff. So to reach a lot of people through a podcast or something like that, how valuable would a Facebook, those Facebook ads and maybe Google AdWords and stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, and I'm not an expert in marketing and stuff. I didn't go to school for it at all, but I've been learning a lot about it. And I understand that Facebook is replacing TV ads, it's replacing newspaper ads, it's replacing bus benches or billboards, whatever marketing is out there that you might use to reach your customers and your clients, Facebook is replacing it. So it's like either get on the boat or we'll see you next time.
Cool.
But you know, there's a learning curve. But you know, one of the great tools I've seen used is this content marketing. You know, and that's really what you're doing here. You're providing free content, and as long as it's valuable content, and as long as it's useful, and you know, people can relate to it. I think that's a great way just to reach people. So,
absolutely. Well, cool. Anything else going on?
Anything else?
That you want to talk? I mean, you don't have to talk about everything. Anybody, anything else exciting?
Working with some clients to try to find more investment properties.
Okay.
Been tough here in the local Minneapolis market. You know, inventory is down like we've talked about over and over again. But you know, right now we're working on a good deal that came up. We were one of the first people out there. I work with some clients that are out of state. And so what I do often is I go to a property for them and I just take as many pictures as I can, basically walk it through, snap, 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 snap. And I'll send them about like 100, 150 pictures depending on how big the property is. And that's a great way to work with out of state investors. And
yeah,
we're working through those.
Okay. Well, great. So, well, for me, I've got a couple buildings under contract out of state. I've got an 84-unit building under contract in Lexington, and I've got a 132-unit building under contract in Cincinnati. Both of those are pretty heavy value add. So right now, I just finished up the due diligence on the 84-unit. I don't like to, but we did make some seller concessions. Because of the condition of the property, we're going to put about $700,000 worth of renovations into it. The seller has agreed to help us out with that, so it'll end up.
How do you mean? If I can interrupt you there, so you said you don't like to do seller concessions. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Well, so when I came into the deal, I offered $2.4 million. And did my due diligence walkthrough, and there was more work than I expected. So with that, I came back to him and said, look, you either drop the price or you do these repairs. And they ended up choosing the repairs to do. So that's the concessions that I made. I like to try to have everything, you know, if I'm buying it for 2.4, that's what I'd like to continue to buy it at, and don't want to go back and try to renegotiate. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't want anybody to do that to me. I'd prefer not to do that to them. But in this case, I felt it was necessary to keep the deal going and to be able to provide my investors with a return that I thought was fair to them as well. So,
okay.
So we just finished the due diligence phase. Everything else went pretty well. And now we are on to the capital raise. We're just starting the capital raise, and we'll be doing also, you know, getting our financing in place. We've already got a lender that looks like is going to be lending on it, and then it's off to the closing.
Okay.
The 132 unit is freshly under contract. We have not done the physical due diligence on that, so I'll be flying out probably in the next week and a half to 2 weeks, and we'll be doing the due diligence, walk through all 132 units. It's a heavy value add, so I'm going to have to bring in a couple contractors, get some estimates, make sure my numbers are lined up with theirs. And then we will do some rent surveys as well, where we'll walk some of the local competitors and make sure that we understand where the condition needs to be to get to the rents that we feel we can get on that property as well. So.
Can I ask you a few questions about all that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, how did you find these two properties?
Yeah, so both of them were just through relationship building with the brokers. Brokers brought them to me. The 84-unit building, I actually put an offer on the neighboring building. That was, I believe it was like 46 or I can't remember, 50 units. And I said, well, look, I don't really want to buy just 50 units in a new market that I don't have any presence in. I'd like to be closer to that 100-unit range. So find me something next door. Is there anything next door? And so they reached out to this this owner, and he did want to sell or entertain an offer. And so we went from there. I ended up not getting the 48, 50 unit. I did not get that building. Somebody paid more than me, but I got this other building. So it was not on the market, which was great. It was a value add, which was, again, which was great. So it worked out well. The 132 was brought to me by a broker, just been, I've never done business with them. I've built a relationship with them. I continually call and email him and try to get, you know, deals from him. So I've been telling him exactly what I'm looking for. And I was coming into town to look at the 84 unit. And anytime I come into town, I always call all the brokers that I've built relationships with and say, hey, you know, coming in, what do you got? I'd love to look at it. And that's exactly what happened here. They hadn't advertised it. It was just a deal. He actually didn't even have it under contract to sell at the time when I first contacted him, and got the deal over to me and walked it and said, yeah, let's do it. So,
okay. So how long from the time that you know about a property and maybe that you've got all the numbers for it as far as income and expenses, how long between that does it take you to analyze it and so that you feel comfortable making an offer?
Well, there's a couple answers to that. First of all, it can take me less than 10 minutes to look at a property to decide if I even want to look into it even farther. That'll tell me, usually it's a couple minutes, just looking at it, where are the rents, what do they think they can be at, that kind of thing. Okay. Then if I go, okay, this thing could maybe work, then I dig into it farther, look more at the pro forma numbers, look more at the actual numbers, and then analyze it from there. I would say to decide if I'm going to make an offer on it, it probably just takes me, you know, a few, like an hour maybe at the most of looking at the numbers. Then to decide what exactly my offer will be, that takes a little bit longer because then I need to talk with the broker, find out what kind of repairs need to be done, get kind of that generalized list. Try to reach out to the current property manager if I can, get an idea from them. This is if I'm not looking at the property before I go see it too. I want
physical walkthrough is what you mean.
Yeah. So sometimes I make an offer, you know, right from Minnesota on a property that's out of state that I haven't ever seen. And the more information I can get on that, and the more comfortable I can become, the better I have of actually making a good offer that is going to work for me and that's going to work for the seller without having to come back and, like I said, offer concessions or retrade. And the Lexington deal is a property I did not look at before I went out there, but I did talk to the broker. I did talk to the current property manager and got a general idea. And we were close. You know, we weren't that far off. We were close enough to get the deal done. So then I look at the demographics. I look at the rents in the area. I look at the, you know, like I said, all the demographics, employment, unemployment, the increase in population or decline in population, all that kind of stuff to make sure it's an area that I want to invest in, submarket and all that. So. It's hard to really answer exact time frame.
Sure.
But I usually from the time that a file hits my desk or computer to when I make an offer is within a day or two.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you said this is a newer market or a newer neighborhood for you?
Well, so the Lexington, I haven't purchased anything in. I've got properties in Cincinnati, which is about an hour and a half from Lexington. So I hadn't purchased anything in Lexington. I love the market, but I hadn't purchased anything. And I didn't want to go into a brand new market with just one smaller property, because it's harder to build a team around just a small property. When you can have a big property, and 84 is about the minimum that I would want to start out with. Maybe 75-ish, but you know, if you can get into a market with some property, then you can actually get a team going right away. So, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's what I got going on. It sounds like you got some cool stuff going on, and we'll update you next week if anything changes.
Yep.
I am Todd Dexter. With me is John Stiles. Thanks for listening to Hump Day Hustle. Please. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to our show, and give us some 5-star ratings. Help us build this show into something that reaches everybody. Have a great day.
All right, thank you.
Want to learn more about real estate investing? Tune in to the best real estate investing advice ever with Joe Fairless. Joe has the longest daily running podcast on iTunes, well over 1,000 episodes. You can listen to me on Joe's podcast, episode 1015, where Joe interviews me and asks me about my best real estate investing advice. Joe has interviewed fantastic guests such as Emmett Smith, Robert Kiyosaki, Barbara Corcoran, all kinds of fantastic guests. Make sure that you go on to Joe's podcast, subscribe, give him a 5-star rating and review. You do not want to miss out on a fantastic podcast, the best real estate investing advice ever with Joe Fairless.